greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on what the hell is going on here when we come back. You know, when you're making $50,000 a year, you pay about $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then, in addition to that, you pay a 17% income tax on that same $50,000 again. That's another $8,500. And that means that you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% that's being advertised. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, and why don't you call us here at the law school, the number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Call and ask for my free general law CD package. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Our tax and status school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Well, we were talking about a young fella, I'm assuming is a young fella, typically they are, by the name of Imad, or Imad, I-M-A-D. He said he was a Muslim. I presume that he's an Arab. He doesn't have to be an Arab, but I'm guessing by the name here that he probably is. And he wrote me a letter. May remind you that in the letter he said, I recently stumbled upon your website and I'm pleased to say that I'm very encouraged by the topics that you speak about on your radio broadcast. I'm not a Christian, I am a Muslim, and I value the code of ethics that you follow, and many are a part of my faith. And the subject of the last age, the pre-return of Jesus, has deeply impacted my heart in recent months, and maybe it's the ongoing war in the Middle East that has finally opened my eyes. The famine in Africa, the dramatic climate change, the frequency of earthquakes, tsunamis, and hurricanes, or the breakdown of urban society all around me. Now, my greatest fear of all is of a greater war in the Middle East. It's a crusade of our time. And I'm a student of imperial geopolitics and the global economy at Ohio State University, and I believe that soon enough we will witness a terrible war for the control of the Middle Eastern oil, in conjunction with a war in which Israel will drastically enlarge its boundaries to those mentioned in the Bible, from the Euphrates to the Nile. Now, we both know that today's global economy still rallies around the dollar due to its relation with black gold, oil. Most certainly, we can say, if the U.S. does not control this strategic interest, its currency will be doomed, bringing forth horrendous consequences to the common population of the United States. I'm going to pause right there, make a couple of comments. I think you're exactly correct here, Imad. The dollar, after the disconnect with gold in 1971, was attached to oil. And that's why all oil in the world today is bought, sold, and traded in dollars. That was the deal. Now, the Iranians have just gone off of dollars and on to the euro, and the war with Saddam Hussein in 1990 was over those oil dollars. Because back in 1990, Hussein would not join the International Monetary Fund. And then after he got tuned up over that, the second round of war over there has to do with Middle Eastern oil. You hit the nail on the head. Iraq has 25% of the world's oil reserves, Iran 10%, Saudi Arabia 35%. Then there's Kuwait and the Emirates. Now add all of that up and you've got 75% of the world's oil right there around the Persian Gulf. And that's what Bible prophecy is talking about, this the Battle of Armageddon, which occurs in Israel. at the Valley of Megiddo, just 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And your observation that you think that there's a wider war coming, you can bet on it. And you can bet on it because this war in Iraq is probably the single most profitable war in the history of the United States. The defense contractors that are participating in this war are making money hand over fist. They're not even bidding on the contracts for these war materials that they're selling. And as long as there's profit in war, we're going to have war. There's no profit in peace. Peace has no profit dividend, but war does. And the multinational corporations that control the United States of America are embarking upon a policy of war and continued war. And war is coming with Iran. Just mark my words. You can see it we'd already be at war with the Iranians if the war in Iraq had gone the way they had planned. The only thing that's slowing that process down is that the war in Iraq is not going the way it was supposed to go. Now, you mentioned that the Israelites over here, you in the next paragraph, you say, is it possible that if the U.S. were to fall as a superpower, is it possible that the U.S. would fall as a superpower? You hit the nail right on the head. We are going down. And you'll see that in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 26. Just take those whole chapters. Those are penal clause chapters. It's the penalty that we're going to pay as Americans for the violation of those 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments that we all signed up with Moses and God for back in about 1329 B.C. there at Mount Sinai. And we would fall to Israel as being the controller of the oil and water. I'm not sure that that's the case, but it could well be. Israel in the Middle East without the United States would be swallowed up in a heartbeat. The one thing that the Israelites do have, in spite of the United States, is nuclear weapons. It's reported that they've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 60 nuclear weapons. I don't know how accurate that is. And they're going to be on their own here pretty shortly because the United States economy is about to collapse. Now, you went on and you said, well, meaning that the succession of superpower status is now transferred to Israel. Is there any mention of this in Bible prophecy? Not that I know of. I do not believe that Israel is going to take over as any superpower. I make this assumption on the fact that if we are truly living in the last age of the following would have to occur. Number one, you say the Israelites would have to return to the Holy Land. Somehow they would have to establish Jewish rule in the Holy Land. And the state of Israel would have to rule the world like the Golden Age witnessed during David and Solomon's time. Let's pause right there. A common error that I see is this belief, especially by Christians, and that is that the word Jew and Israelite are synonymous terms, and that's not so. And I mentioned this to you in the last broadcast, or the last program. Let me take a minute here and let me run through the genealogy here. As an Arab, you know that you're a descendant of Abraham through Hagar and Ishmael. So let's just take a look at the genealogy. Follow along. Abraham comes along. He's a Hebrew, and his great-grandfather's name was Eber, E-B-E-R, and Eber is the world's first Hebrew. So the people who are descended from Shem are not all Hebrews. There are a lot of white people in the world that are not Hebrews. Conversely, there are a lot of white people in the world that are not Israelites. And the Israelites are descended from, not Abraham, but from Israel. Abraham had a boy named Isaac. Isaac had a boy named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. One of Jacob's 12 sons was named Judah. Just one. All of the descendants of Jacob are Israelites. The Jews are Israelites. but not the Jews that live in Palestine today. They're not descended from Judah, and I showed you that in the last program. In Revelation 2, verse 9, and Revelation 3, verse 9, two scriptures tell you plainly, there are some people running around in the world today claiming to be Jews and are not. Now, the Creator of the universe told you plainly, they claim that they're Jews, but they are not. So you're going to have to look somewhere else in history to find out who they are. I told you who they were. They're the descendants of Esau. Now, Jacob had a brother by the name of Esau, and Jacob stole Esau's birthright. And the descendants of Esau have been trying to get that birthright back from that day to this, and they're going to succeed. And that's where this Jewish connection, it's called the Jewish connection, comes in. It's really the Edomite connection. Edomite connection. Now, 70 million evangelical Christian Americans believe that the people of Israel today are all Jews. There's no doubt that there's a few Jews over there. But the predominant race or the predominant group of people are called Edomites. They come in two forms. Now, the reason that we call them Jews and the reason that they're looked upon as being the chosen people is because they keep the Sabbath. They keep the Sabbath on Saturday. And that Sabbath is the identifying sign of the tribes of Israel, of which there were 12 tribes of Israel, not one. Now, there are about 40 million Jews in the world today. There are about 15 million of these imposter Jews who are in reality Edomites. Jews are the descendants of Judah. Judah had three sons. Of the three sons, his first, named E-R, married a young Hebrew princess by the name of Tamar, and God killed Then the duty of the husband's brother was triggered, and Onan, who was supposed to go in to raise up children by Tamar to produce an heir for the family throne, because Judah had the scepter promise from Genesis 49:10, refused to do that, and God killed Onan, which just left the third son, whose name was Shelah. Now, Shelah refused to marry Tamar when he grew up, and Tamar now, who was gaining some age, dressed up like a prostitute, and she had sexual relations, as the story goes, with Judah, and produced two sons, twins, Zerah and Phares. Queen Elizabeth is a descendant of the Phares line, and George Gordon is a descendant of the Zerah line. I've traced my genealogy back, and I trace my genealogy through the Scots people and the High German people back to the Zerah line. And the Zerah line left Egypt before Moses. And they settled in places like Zaragoza, Spain, Troy, Turkey, and Scotland and Ireland. And they're known as the Picts and the Druids, a very pagan group of people back long before Moses left Egypt. So there's the history now of the real Jews. The real Jews are situated in places like Canada, Australia, and the United States. No doubt there are a few in Palestine who have been converted, like Sammy Davis Jr. was a convert to Judaism, and Marilyn Monroe was a convert to Judaism. But those aren't racial Jews. So there's that story. Now, how long are these people going to rule? The answer is in Revelation 17:12, where it says they're going to give their power to these 10 horns, which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, in Bible prophecy, we find that a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Well, there's a principle in Bible prophecy of a day for a year. So when you're talking about a day, it could be a 1,000 years. It could be one day or 1 year. this speaks about 1 hour or about 1/24th of a day. It's a short period of time. But you can rest assured that the Jews now in Israel today are going to play a very prominent role in this end time collapse of civilization called the Great Tribulation in the Bible. And your conclusion here that we're getting closer to the second coming, I think, is a little closer to accurate than you might realize. If you take a look at, and I mentioned this to you yesterday, I'll give them to you again. Get a pen and paper, write these down. It's about five or six chapters here. Matthew chapter 24 is an end time prophetic chapter. Mark 13, Luke 21, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Now combine those with Revelation 6 and chapters 14, 15, and 17 and 18, and I think that you'll have a pretty good outline or a pretty good understanding of Bible prophecy as it relates to the Middle East and indeed the entire world, but with specificity, the Middle East. Because you're right, what they're after is that oil. America is not in Iraq to bring democracy to the Iraqis. We're in Iraq to steal 25% of the world's oil reserves, which the United States needs, has to have, in order to maintain our dominance in the world, because we are bankrupt. We are broke. That's the bottom line. All right, young man, I thank you for your letter and thank you for your interest, and hope that gives you a little bit of perspective there as we see it here at the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, let me whip over here to the International Forecaster, Wednesday, December the 20th, 2006. Remember, this is written or put out by the International Forecaster. I'll give you their address here. It's Post Office Box 510-518. That's 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, spelled P-U-N-T-A-G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951-0518. And they tell us here that if you're going to write to them, you have to have that full zip plus four, or they don't get their mail. So the zip code here again is 33951-0518. It's called the International Forecaster. They've also got a web page, and it's www.theinternationalforecaster.com. This guy's name is Bob Chapman. He's probably got his head on straighter than most. Not that he's the only guy in the world that knows what's going on, but he is. He puts out a newsletter, comes out twice a week. That's about 100 issues a year, about 20 pages per issue. You can get it right over your email. It's $130 a year. It's worth every dollar. Let me tell you, I've been reading this for years and years, and I subscribe to a number of these newsletters. This isn't the only one, but I'm reluctant to say, you know, it's the best, because I've got a couple of three other guys over here that I've got great respect for also, but if it's not the best, it is close to the best. And you probably aren't going to subscribe to six newsletters, so if you're going to pick one newsletter, I'd put Chapman's International Forecaster at the top of the list. And if you're going to subscribe to two, I would put the Privateer number two. Not because the Privateer is poorer or dumber or anything else. It's that the Privateer comes out twice a month, and it costs about the same amount of money, and it's 12 pages. And this newsletter here comes out twice a week and has 20 pages twice a week. That's about 40 pages a week. And there's a third one, if you've got a little extra money there, that I would subscribe to or recommend. It's called The Money Changer by Franklin Sanders. Now, those three newsletters combined, I think, will give you a perspective on the news and international geopolitics that you probably have never seen before. I think that'll be an eye-opener for you. But start off here with the International Forecaster. Now, he starts off with paragraph one. It's called The U.S. Markets. And he says, the adventure in the Middle East is over. Now the question is, how do we extricate ourselves? And never has so little been achieved by so great a country at such an enormous expense, both in money and in lives. The recklessness, the arrogance, and the incompetence of George Bush and the neocons has uprooted and impoverished hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children, mainly Muslims and Christians in Lebanon, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and not to forget those in Iraq and Afghanistan. The administration knew 2 years ago that achieving a victory, if not possible, was certainly not feasible. The idea was to mitigate the losses and find a way out. I'm going to pause right there. If that's true, then why would we continue the war? And the answer is, I just mentioned it, enormous profits. The multinational corporations like Halliburton and Boeing Aircraft and Lockheed Martin, they need war to use up the war material so that they can make more war material and make more profit. It is through war, it is through destruction that all of these great profits are made. And the people that are in control of our government, the oil companies like ExxonMobil, Lockheed Martin, Boeing Aircraft, Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root, and the list goes on and on. There's probably 100 prime contractors that are contracting in this war are raking in billions and billions of dollars. It can actually be as high as hundreds of billions of dollars, as we'll see here as we progress along. It is reported that the budget deficit for just 2006, the budget deficit for this year, 2006, is in excess of $4 trillion. That's 4,000 billion. Now, the official federal budget deficit is about $250 billion, give or take a few. And now, take $4,000 billion, and then take $250 off of that. You see, they're only reporting to you $250 billion in the real deficit, according to the GAO now, is in excess of $4 trillion. Now, a trillion is a thousand to billion. A billion is a thousand to million. And a million is a thousand thousand. I mean, we're talking about humongous quantities of money being transferred here, and they're not even taxing you for it. They're just putting it on the cuff. Now, what these people hope to accomplish over here is world dominance. This is the New World Order. This is the plan for taking over the world and installing this New World Order. And the collapse of the world's economies come into play. And then we're going to have a national identification card. And we're going to have a cashless society. We're going to have an Orwellian welfare state, a New World Order, a dictatorial world government that is going to defy description. And out of this, in the short term, in North America, we're going to have a merger of Mexico, the United States, and Canada. And when the economy collapses and the money goes bad, we're going to have a new currency called the Amero, A-M-E-R-O. And you don't need to worry about voting for any of this or giving your assent or your approval or any debates. It's already been cast in cement. And this is the way it's going to be. Now, wake up and pay attention. Now, a lot of times, and Bob Chapman's one of them, they believe that the solution to this madness, to this problem that's coming up, is that we need to vote the bad guys out and vote the good guys in. Now, I want to point out to you that we have been voting in this country for over 200 years. The problem, boys and girls, is the voting. It's the voting that voted George Bush into office. Do you remember that? And you can vote him out, but in the last election, 2004, you had a choice between John Kerry, the Illuminist, the Skull and Bones man, or you had George Bush, the Illuminist and Skull and Bones man. Now, what do you think your chances of making any meaningful changes are going to be? All right, so now let's wake up. The real answer to this over here is, if we will obey our God and follow His commandments, obey God and keep His commandments, He'll save you alive out of it. But the rest of the world is going through this great tribulation, whether they like it or not, and whether we like it or not, we're going through it. I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm going to be as prepared for it as I can get. It's kind of like Noah, Noah's flood. In fact, the Messiah said in Matthew 24 that this great tribulation is going to be worse than Noah's flood. How that can be, I'm not quite sure. But those are his words. You can read it for yourself. That's Matthew chapter 24. The Messiah, this is sweet Jesus away in the manger, said that this great tribulation is going to be worse. I don't know if it means it's going to kill more people or it's going to be a trauma that lasts longer. Noah's flood was a one-year event. This is going to be about a three-and-a-half-year event. Maybe that's what he was referring to, but he says it's going to be worse than Noah's flood. Now, the result of this poor decision-making has led to the regional conflagration, the end of which is not in sight, and our allies are essentially gone or will be gone by summer. We are now alone. We are on our own. And while this transpires, our leader, a proven failure and liar, says, "I'm not going to pull our troops off the battlefield before the mission is complete." This is the same person who told us years ago that it was mission accomplished. Now, I have another story in here that I'll get to in a day or so. Won't be today, but I'm going to give you a little preview here. The real U.S. shortfall, $4.6 trillion in the red. The omissions in the Iraq study group. And there was another neat one here that was in the pile. America in the crosshairs of incompetence. The United States is insolvent by Dr. Chris and Martinson. There's a whole host and plethora of articles here in the news that are dealing with this new study group and the reality that the war in Iraq is now lost for the United States. And President Bush says, "Well, we're going to stick with the program, and we're going to see if we can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat." Now, the last time that an entire army was lost on the battlefield was at Stalingrad in 1943 when Hitler stayed in the game and lost the Sixth Army, the German Sixth Army. It's not the only army that was lost. The British saved their army at Dunkirk. And the Germans lost their army at Stalingrad. They lost an army before that in North Africa. And we're on the verge of losing our entire army in Iraq. Now, as this story unfolds, let's take a look here. In Deuteronomy 28, God says that the power of America is going to be broken and destroyed suddenly. Suddenly. And that our enemies are going to say, "How could this great nation have been destroyed so suddenly?" So it isn't something that comes upon us over a long period of time, like a long, slow decline in the British Empire or in the Roman Empire, which occurred over, you know, decades of time, in the case of the Romans, over 200 years. No, it's something that occurs in a very short period of time, a year or 5 years or something on that order. And this war in Iraq looks like the catalyst for the destruction of the United States. Now let's go on. He says, "Our allies are essentially gone or will be gone by summer. We're alone. We're on our own." The U.S. and Great Britain invaded Iraq by lying about the conditions for war without proper legal authority or international legitimacy. And the result has been breathtaking incompetence and stupidity, which turned a totalitarian state, Iraq, into a state of anarchy. Vietnamization is now called Iraqization. The British and others will leave, and we will supervise the ongoing Iraqi killing Iraqi for the next several years. The winners in this are Syria, Iran, and the mullahs of the Shiites. The Sunnis and Saudi Arabia will be lucky if they survive. Saudi Arabia cannot increase oil production and drive oil prices down, because their income will fall and they will have an internal revolution as a result. a war in part that has started to make Israel safer, has actually put Israel in harm's way. Israel has suffered defeat in Lebanon, and Hamas runs Palestine. Desperate people do desperate things. Hezbollah is now challenging the Lebanese, and in Egypt, our CIA gets caught training revolutionaries for Iraq. And I underlined that. I'm going to pause here for a moment. In Egypt, our CIA gets caught training revolutionaries for Iraq. Why would our CIA be training revolutionaries to fight against us in Iraq? That's called a false flag. And we just saw a piece in the news here not too long ago, a couple of months ago, down in Basra. The Iraqi police caught two British soldiers carrying armaments in a private car. And they captured them and put them in jail. The British authorities went over and broke these two guys out of jail. And the story was is that these two British commandos or soldiers were making a car bomb and that they were going to blow up the car bomb. Is it that there isn't enough violence in Iraq from the insurgents that we are over here setting off bombs ourselves to blame on the insurgents? Is that some of what's going on? And what the hell is that all about? Again, I don't know. I can't tell you, but there's something phony going on there. In fact, this whole war over here is phony. The Trade Tower collapse is phony. A jumbo jet flying into the Pentagon is phony. There's more to this than meets the eyeball, boys and girls. And that's why I recommend the International Forecaster to keep you abreast of what's going on in the world, what's going on behind the scenes in the world. Going on, he says, we get the feeling that no one knows who's on first. And then our president promises Mr. Putin that he won't supply weapons, supplies, and money to Israel to invade Lebanon. And then 3 weeks later, he breaks his word. Bush is a man without honor. And the result is Afghanistan, Iraq, Israel, Palestine, and Lebanon have serious problems of varying degrees. Iran, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia are not far behind. George Bush and the neocons are responsible for all of this, and no whitewash is going to make their failure go away. And meanwhile, back on the farm, of course, people are complaining in this country about the three Americans that are dying every day, and I mentioned this in the last program. I said, well, excuse me, kids, but 100 Iraqis are dying every day. Now, evidently, three Americans are worth more than 100 Iraqis. The only way I can figure that. Now, it seemed like to me that those 100 Iraqis over there should come up on the radar screen somewhere, don't you think? Meanwhile, back on the farm, let me give you a friendly reminder. And that is that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, so that we can comply with the FCC here and remind you that the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information on the or about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number to call, 417-417. 217-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the law or an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not totally endorsed or not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website is georgegordon.org and our phone number is 417-273-4967. All right, I had a couple other things over here that I had to remind you of. And here we are. And that is, we're offering a new class on health and healing. We get a lot of calls here at the Law Hour over our health programs that we put on health and healing. And this new class will cover the alternative methods being used for the treatment and healing of cancer, a disease that now affects about one out of every two Americans, about 50% of us now are going to come down with cancer at some point in our lives. And how to prevent this degenerative disease, abdominal fat, and the use of the application of essential oils, super nutritional foods containing more nutrients and fewer calories. And the list of things that we're covering in this class is pretty long. The class also includes hands-on teaching, paperwork, allergic reaction testing and training, so you can do it at home by the use of acupressure application and training so you can find the pressure points and much, much more to contribute to your ongoing health. Class is coming up on February the 5th through the 9th here in Isabella. If you're interested, then give my wife Jackie a call here at the law school at 417-273-4967. My wife, by the way, is a 28-year cancer survivor, and I said to her, I think what we need here, there's a lot of information out there on health and healing. I said, you know, there's a lot of guys that can tell you what to do. Unfortunately, they can't tell you how to do it in a simple, easy-to-follow methodology. And you have big words like lysine and amino acids and enzymes and vitamins and minerals and fatty acids, and they get kind of tedious. You know, and explaining to you how this fatty acid combines with this mineral and produces this result. And I don't think that truck drivers and housewives care about that. I don't. I need to have a piece of paper in my hand that I can walk into the store and say, give me these bottles of vitamins. And I need a piece of paper that says you take one of these morning, noon, and night, and six of these, and put it down there in simple directions so that I can follow it. And then if I need to know something technical, I can sit here and watch these videotapes and CDs. So we're going to see if we can't make this simple and straightforward so that as a lay person, you can follow the instructions and do it holistically. Now, the medical profession does that. They have a very simple program. Come into the office, sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and take this pill. And they hand it to you and give you a glass of water. And you're on your way. They tell you what to do and how to do it. All right. We're talking about the international forecaster. I asked the question, what the hell's going on here? And there's a lot going on. But you're not getting a report from Katie. Katie and Brian aren't telling us all the facts. So I suggested here the international forecaster, and let me give you his name and number again. This is the international forecaster, all one word, www.theinternationalforecaster.com. Facebook.com. Need I say more? This all brings us to our current situation. George isn't listening to anyone, and he will not admit that Iraq is disintegrating and his invasion is doomed. He has rejected the Illuminist Iraq study group plan by calling it interesting and worthy of study. We've been at war now for 4 years. It's cost $500 billion. That's a half a trillion. And Congress has allowed the administration to keep the cost off budget. The cost of the Iraq-Afghan wars now are all off budget. And we might add, the Democrats, who prior to elections said that they'd cut war spending, have done nothing of the sort. They've joined the let's spend bandwagon, and we can expect no review and no oversight, just more of the same. Now, both Republicans and Democrats can have equal time lying about the costs of the war. And you know there is some honor among thieves, and a review of the Pentagon's no-bid contracts with Halliburton and others is unthinkable. I'm going to pause right there with unthinkable. You know, in World War II, they came up with this bidding program and a profit margin of 10%. And that's where these cost overruns come from. So let me tell you a little story about how these cost overruns work, because I worked at a defense plant one time as a boiler maker, working at Pacific Coast Engineering in a shipyard, and we were building a Coast Guard cutter. And I forgot what they bid on this back in the 60s, you know, and they'd bid, let's just pick a number, $5 million on this aircraft carrier. Or not aircraft carrier, it's a Coast Guard cutter. Coast Guard cutter. And we're building this thing, and there's some cost overruns come in here. And so pretty soon this ship goes from $5 million to $6 million, and from $6 million to $7 million. Okay, now here's the way the game was played in those days. The company comes in, and they bid $5 million, and they're the low bidder. And there's a paragraph in the contract that says, but set cost overruns. So they have this cost overrun thing. Now, their profit is limited to 10%. Well, 10% of $5 million is $500,000 profit. But 10% of $7 million is $700,000 profit. And so the shipyard wants to run the costs up. And this is why you have these $500 hammers and $35 screws that you've probably heard about. Cost overruns. That's to jack the price up so that they make more profit, because their profit is limited to 10% under the terms of the contract. But they used to have a program where at least they had some semblance of competitive bidding. Now, the Republicans that took over here with George Bush and company in 2000, they've got a different program. They just award these contracts to whoever they want to. So if George Gordon wanted to go down and bid on one of these contracts, I'm not even invited in to bid on it, much less get a shot at getting the job. So that just tells you a little bit more about the graft and corruption going on, and you've probably heard about that. Even Katie and Brian are reporting that, you know, on the 6 o'clock news. No bid contracts. Now, if you want some real skinny on the no bid contracts and the dirt that goes with it and the details that go with that, then you need to get in with at least one or more of the newsletters, the underground newsletters, where this guy Chapman, for instance, has some contacts in the government. And he's a former, I think he's an Army spook. And I don't know that positively, but I was talking to Frank the other day, and he said that he knows this guy Chapman, and he said he's an Army spook from probably Korea or World War II, something on that order. He's kind of an older guy. And these guys have some contacts in the government. You know, they're old buddies, and they say, "Hey, what's going on? Tell me the skinny." And they're getting some inside information. I'm sure it's not top secret classified, but they're getting information that you're not getting from the president's news conferences. Well, as Mr. Baker said, the U.S. cannot achieve its goals in the Middle East unless it deals directly with the Arab-Israeli conflict and regional stability. The mouthings of Blair and Bush will change nothing. Negotiations have to be held with all interested parties. It's no wonder Baker and the other elitists in the group have kept Israel out of the upcoming talks. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said, "We are very much impressed and encouraged by the stability which the great operation of America and Iraq brought to the Middle East." What planet is this guy Olmert from, or is he simply a fool? The more we look at this situation, the worse it looks. Cheney has to quickly go, and George's power has to be eliminated one way or another. This is the worst, most expensive foreign policy disaster in the history of the United States. If it's any consolation, the Democrats could be helpful. Anyone could do better for that matter, but who knows? Many are elitists on the take, and they've been compromised. George Bush is trying, along with the study group, to save his reputation and to prove that he was surely a messenger of God, sent to rid the world of evil Muslims and to purify them with his brand of democracy, even if it kills them. He's too dumb to change course and perhaps save his own life. I got to make a little comment here. I saw some numbers the other day that brought us up to 650,000 Iraqis have been killed so far in the 4 years of the war, and 1.5 million of them have been displaced in Iraq, and 1.5 million have left the country. That's 3 million homeless people now in Iraq. Well, there's only 26 million of them to start with. So if we take 3,600,000, that's 3,600,000, plug that into our famous Texas Instruments, divide that by 26 million. That's 13.8. That's pushing 15% of the population over there has been killed or displaced in Iraq in 4 years of war. And what have you accomplished? I mean, when Saddam Hussein was in power over there, bad as he might have been, you didn't have 650,000. I doubt if that guy killed more than 20 or 30,000 people in the 30 years he was in power. I haven't heard of more than that. George Bush said that the number about a year ago was 30,000 Iraqis. Hell, they're killing 100 a day. 100 a day, boys and girls, is 36,500 a year. And that's just in Baghdad. Now, they don't have reports from the rest of the country. And they're killing people all over the country. But they've got reports of 100 a day in Baghdad. So I'm just a reporter here reporting numbers to you and trying to encourage you to get your head screwed on straight. This thing over here is turning to mush in short order. So let me go on to a second topic over here. A good part of our government, the commercial and financial end, is being run by Goldman Sachs, and they will capitalize on their connections for years to come. And they have and will reap enormous profits at the expense of all Americans. Now, Henry Paulson, a former CEO of Goldman Sachs, led the Chinese charge to hopefully keep them from selling their dollar-based assets. As Persian Gulf oil producers and Venezuela, Russia, and other OPEC members in Argentina and Brazil sell their dollars. Now, we suspect that the threat of trade legislation is just that. It's a threat. Goldman and Citigroup did a giant IPO in China, and part of the deal would have been that Paulson killed the Schumer-Graham trade legislation that would put tariffs at 27% on Chinese goods. Goldman Sachs made $4.9 billion on the deal. Now, these are what Chapman calls the elitists. They are the Illuminati, the Illuminists, and they are raping, robbing, and pillaging our government, driving it into the red. And we say, well, they are stupid. No, these people aren't stupid. These people have an end game, and the end game is this. They are destroying the political and economic system in the United States. And they're going to merge the United States into a one-world government. That's the objective. We're going to have world government. We're going back to where we were in Genesis chapter 11. I think I reported that to you. Genesis chapter 11, where God separated all of the racial tribes and groups on planet Earth, gave the blacks Africa, and he gave the Orient to the Chinese and the Orientals. He separated us. That's the bottom line. And told us to stay that way. Confounded our languages so we couldn't communicate. And now we have been working mightily over the last 4,000 or 5,000 years, and what we're going to do is we're going to fix God's mistake now, and we're going to amalgamate all of these races and groups of people into a new world government. We're going to go right back to that Tower of Babel program. Now, the last time we did that, God got a little upset about that, and he said, I'm not going to allow that. And he tells us very plainly that isn't going to be the ultimate end game. We might be working hard to achieve it. But the end result is going to be a period of chaos, war, and destruction that is going to destroy about 9/10 of the Earth's population. Now, the Illuminists have that as an end game plan. The objective of the Club of Rome, which is one of the Illuminist think tanks, is to reduce the Earth's population of its useless eaters by 90% over the next 50 or 60 years. In Bible prophecy, we see in Revelation a great tribulation that is going to kill. Let's see if I can whip this one on you here. This ought to shock you a little bit if you're a lay person over here. Revelation chapter 6, and this is called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Listen to this. And when it opened the second seal, I heard the second beast come out and say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when I had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast come and say, come and see. And I behold, lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell, followed after him. And the power was given unto him to kill the fourth part of the earth, and to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, the last time I heard, the earth's population was 6.6 billion. So I'm just going to put 6.6 in here. And then let's take a fourth of that. Let's take 6.6 times 0.25, and that's 1.65 billion. That's 1,650,000,000 people dead. Now, only in biblical terms do we see numbers like that. Now, I reported to you the Club of Rome people. They have it in their minds that they're going to reduce Earth's population by 90%. What isn't clear here in Revelation 6, is this a fourth, four times with each one of these four horses? Or is it 25% total on the four horses? Well, I can't tell you, but in Isaiah 6, verse 13, he says, I'm going to save a tithe of you alive. So if you were to take 6.6 and you take 25% and then you subtract 1.65 from that. Let's just do that. 6.6 and then take 1.65 from that. Leaves 4,950,000, or about 5 billion left. Now, if you took 5 billion and you took 25% of that, and then you took that number and you took 25% of that, and you took that number and took 25% of that, can you see where you're going? Now, there's some big events on the horizon. And the big events take place in the Middle East. And the Middle East is spiraling out of control. And the war for America, for all practical purposes, is now lost. And they're talking about, well, we'll put in more troops. Well, okay. Put in more troops. Spend more money. You're already bankrupt. And I'll give you a report on that next time. We'll take a look at this bankruptcy, and then we'll ask the question, what the hell is this all about? In 1950, America was the number one economic power in the world. Everybody in the world owed us money. Today, we're the world's number one debtor nation. So in 50 years, we've gone from being the world's number one creditor nation to the world's number one debtor nation. That's not an accident. The Republicans and the Democrats, depending upon who was in office at the time, have worked consistently since the end of World War II to spend America into oblivion, to spend us into bankruptcy. And the American people have voted those people into office time after time after time. We have been warned and warned and warned, and the American people never listened. They just kept voting those people back into office time after time after time. After all, they kept promising more benefits. Okay, well, now it's payback time. Now we're broke, and our Secretary of Treasury and our Federal Reserve Chairman just went over to China, our arch enemies, the Chinese, to make peace with them over the debts that we owe. And what are we going to do next? I don't know what the outcome of it is. There are some reports here that I saw in the Privateer here in the last week. And none of it's good. None of it's good. What happened here in America that this event has befallen us? And as I pointed out at the beginning of today's program, I said, now if you'll take a look at Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, the God of Israel will tell you, well, here's what I'm going to do to you if you people don't pay attention. And national catastrophe, national collapse is in the cards. That's a part of what our God said, I'm going to do to you. As they say down at the Blue Room, you know, read them and weep. Then you get your cards from the dealer. He'll say, read them and weep. Now make your bets. Now, this thing not only isn't good, it's getting worse every day. Now, there's a solution to this. In the case of Noah, Noah was saved out of the world around him. In the case of Jericho, Rahab and her family were saved out of Jericho. In the case of Elijah, Elijah was saved out of the collapse of Israel. There will be some survivors here in America, no doubt. And if you're interested in that subsistence and survival, you want to be one of the survivors, then it's time that we paid more attention to God and less attention to George Bush and the politicians. That's my conclusion. All right, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to wrap it up right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.